That I don't know what it is about that song, but it always brings tears to my eyes. I think it might be the tune actually that touched. So thanks, and it was very appropriate for what we're looking at today. We're finishing off in Galatians today. I appreciate we haven't covered every verse in Galatians, but I think we've got the message. We've probably been here long enough, and next week I hope to move into Psalms. And then, as I said, the lads are going to take over for the following 2 weeks. But let's just bow in a word of prayer again. Lord, we do pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you so graciously sent your word to us to encourage us, to instruct us, to convict us of our sin, but most of all, to show us your Son, Jesus the Christ. And Lord, we just thank you that we can again come to here this morning. We pray that the name of Jesus would be magnified in our midst. And that, Lord, that in our hearts as we reflect upon your word, Lord, I pray that our reflections may be directed towards Jesus and how wonderful and gracious a Savior he has. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So if we could turn to Galatians chapter 6, we're going to do the first 10 verses in the final chapter. Galatians 6, 1 to 10. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to a sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I want to title this morning's message, Christian Family, or family of believers, as we have just read in that last verse 10. Now, all of us are born into families. We all have mums and dads, and some of us rate them quite highly, and others of us don't rate them quite so highly at all. We've had the privilege of having 5 children, and Jen and I often try to rate ourselves as parents and come up with pretty average, really. Out of 10, I guess we would, 5? Come up pretty ordinary, really. But interestingly, our children rate us a lot higher than that. So their perspective is somewhat different to ours. But I have to say this, and I think, you know, I'm serious when I said we could have been much better parents than the parents we were. If we start again, boy, we would be really good parents because we're so wise now. But then along comes Fantasia. I'm not sure I'm that wise at all. But no, let's keep that out of that. I think the thing about the common denominator about parents, when I think about our children, I just think with a lot of pleasure and a lot of love. And a bunch of our kids have done some pretty stupid things, some pretty ordinary things. But our hearts towards our children are very warm and very loving. And there's probably not a day goes by when we don't think of our children in one way or another. It might be just a fleeting memory. I wonder how so-and-so's doing. Wonder how Cameron's putting up with the 40 degrees in Adelaide. Fraser's coming back tonight. Ruth's coming over. Rachel's over on holiday there. How's Roy doing? You know, there's just all the time. And that's what this family, this Christian family that Jenny and I have had the privilege of being involved in. That's what it's about. Mums and dads do love their children. But we're looking at it from a slightly different perspective today. And Paul starts off with the word brothers, and he ends with this, especially doing good to the family of believers. There is something different about us, and this is talking about believers, not Christian families of mum, dad, and the children, but the church. The church of God. It's talking about us people here. So when he says brothers, there's a degree of intimacy that he brings to the whole picture. And just bear in mind, we've come out of chapter 5 and we were talked about walking by the Spirit, being in tune with what the Holy Spirit would have us do day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, as opposed to the natural sinful nature that we still carry around with us, which would lead us into these acts that are, which Paul says, you know, the sexual acts, the disharmony, the drunkenness, etc., etc., the selfish ambition. But here he's, so that's the background to what we're doing. He's still continuing, that theme is still there of walking and living by the Spirit. But he says here, brothers, if someone is caught up in some of these sinful nature, acts of the sinful nature, how should we respond to him? Because he speaks very, very firmly about it in chapter 5. But the tone here is totally different. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, because you also could be tempted by the same sin. And then it goes on, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. What does that look like? Well, we've had a little glimpse of that when we had a look back there in Luke chapter 7, and the way Jesus related to this woman who had a reputation for being a sinner. She was probably a prostitute, and not appropriate for a Pharisee to be associating with in their minds, and therefore not appropriate for a prophet or a man who claims to be a prophet to be associating with a sinful woman. And that's where they were wrong. And the way Jesus related to this woman was totally different to the culture or the subculture that the Pharisees had set up. Jesus related to her out of grace and mercy, because he is the Savior of the world. And he says to us, love one another. And so this sinful woman, who he could easily have said, get out of here, don't touch me, what do you think you're doing? No, he used as a rebuke to the Pharisee to show him up for his works of the law, which Paul has been talking about in Galatians. These works of the law, which are utter rubbish, look at this. This is the way I extend grace and mercy, to the point where we are going to fellowship with that lady in heaven. And lady, she is, Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's how we're to respond. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin. And then it carries on. It says, if anyone thinks he is something, and I would suggest this relates back to chapter 5, and we talked briefly last week about selfish ambition and wanting to do our own things, wanting to puff ourselves up. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. There's a couple of thoughts here in this passage, in this whole passage, that presupposes a Christian community that is open and communicating with one another, that presupposes that Christians have the ability to self-examine, to look into their own hearts, to examine their own motives, to try and understand who they are, to have a look on the inside and try and see themselves from a Christian perspective. Now, that is not an easy thing to do. That is not something that we suddenly say, well, I know all about myself. We know the events of ourselves. We know the inputs that have come into our lives. We do not sometimes fully understand ourselves. And I would suggest the measuring stick would be in Christian community based on the Word of God. As we examine ourselves according to the Word of God, as we begin to have a true perspective of who we are, as we have a true understanding of our own sinful nature and the way we respond or inappropriately respond in many cases, that we begin to understand who we are and who we are before a great, holy and mighty God. We have a tremendous measuring stick to measure ourselves against. We have the opportunity, it says here, to self-reflect so that we won't be deceived and test our own actions, because we'll find, as we look at it, we'll find that in many ways we're pretty ordinary. In other ways, we're dismal failures. In all ways, we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can walk day by day, led by the Spirit, and step with the Spirit, living by the Spirit. And that, I believe, is just a little picture of Christian community. To carry one another's burdens assumes also that we are able to communicate our difficulties one to another, that we know we may pick it up. I mean, some are very obvious. You have a car accident. There's difficulties at home with the children. Some are very obvious. But some of our struggles are not obvious. Some of them are quite private, and some of them are very deep, and some of them are very personal and painful, and some it takes a lot of wisdom. Is this appropriate for me to share this with my friend or in this group context or whatever context we're in? But it does say that brothers, you know, there's some big things there, brothers and sisters, let's share one another's burden, let's carry the load, let's prayerfully carry the load, let's help where we can. Some of it is obviously in things of financial need or hardship, and I'd suggest verse 10 is pointing in that direction for people that are struggling in that area. It is not every area of our life, though, because verse 5 says, for each one should carry his own load. And that seems to contradict verse 2, which says, carry each other's burdens. And now he's saying, you should carry your own load. Don't suck it onto somebody else, do it yourself. I think the perspective is the size of the load, the burden that's being, and I understand the original language is slightly different, that the burden that's being talked about in verse 2 is a lot greater, is almost carrying a person under, whereas the burden or the load that's talked about in verse 5 are the normal responsibilities we have. For example, for running our own household, for mowing the lawns, for looking after our children, that there is a responsibility there that each one of us should have. We should conduct those as best we're able. One can't be too specific in these and say, well, you should do this and do this, but, you know, the church will help you here. No, no, because some of those things actually can become a real, some of the day-to-day things for some people do become a very huge burden. But in general, that I believe that's what Paul is talking about, that each one should carry out his own duties and responsibilities. Then we have this interesting little verse, and it's kind of snuck in here. And it's just a practical thing, I believe. Anyone who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And I think this is a practical situation that Paul's addressing. He has spoken to it in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 is a good cross-reference where he says, and talking to the... Chapter 9, verse 11 and verses 14. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? And then in verse 14, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. I think what Paul is saying here, in practical terms, for those who have to preach the word and prepare sermons, it takes time. And to have a full-time job and to be preparing sermons week after week after week puts an onerous burden if it's on one person. And he's saying, therefore, the practical solution is that we should help support this person so they can take time off to prepare and deliver teaching. It's not as Paul himself demonstrated in his own life, it's not a black and white one. There were times when he said, no, look, I don't want to put that extra burden on a particular church. I'm going to support myself and minister at the same time. So it's not a burdensome thing. You know, each church, I'm sure, has to look at its own particular situation. But it's just effectively looking at the practical difficulties that that teachers have in spending extended time in the Word. And then verse 7 carries on, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And I think this is pulling through again what we had in chapter 5 last week, this conflict between the sinful nature and living by the Spirit. That if we choose to follow the sinful nature, there are consequences. And that God should not be mocked in this area. It's not laissez-faire. Look, I am saved, now I can do what I like. No, there's quite a firm warning. God cannot be mocked. And I would suggest if you even consider that, you're treading on very dangerous ground. It is serious stuff to claim to have accepted the gospel, to be a believer, and not follow the obligations associated with it. And that includes walking by faith. That's the key driver of the book of Galatians, is justification by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. The one who sows to a sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I think we're looking forward here as we go into verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. We had a meeting on Friday night with some of the young people's leaders, and one of the overall tones is, we are weary. We are tired. It's been a tough year. It's been an exciting year, but it's been a very full-on year. And in fact, we'd appreciate your prayers going forward, because we're looking at new ways of doing things. The time commitment for some of us is just not there, and rightly so, for good reasons, not for bad reasons at all. And we just need to look at the ways we do things to see if we can do things that are in a more, probably, hopefully, before the Lord, in a more effective way. We were just reminiscing and saying, look, you know, the Lord gives us the gifts that we have. He puts us in the situations we're in, you know, with the time that we have available, and that's it. And we look to the Lord to provide. We look to the Lord to minister. It's His ministry. But let us not become weary in doing good, but equally, let us not become weary in burning ourselves out and doing excessive ministry and over-committing ourselves in ways that are not proper. And I think if we link that in with the verse 5, each one should carry his own load. In other words, each one has his own responsibilities and duties, and we need to operate sensibly in that area. And then we can think creatively outside that and say, hey, what else can we do? These opportunities are out here, but we don't have all this resource. What can we do? What new ways can we look at things? And then in conclusion, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And again, bringing back this responsibility that we have to one another, that we can regard one another as brothers and sisters, that we can treat one another as brothers and sisters in the way we would expect to be treated as a brother and as a sister. And the priority is, that we do good first of all, but not exclusively, but first of all to those within the church. How can we apply passages such as this? Well, I'd like to suggest two or three things. I would like to reiterate what I believe is the importance of fellowship groups, home groups, study groups, you call them what you like, or the intimacy of close fellowship with other believers. I would commend that to you, being involved with other Christians at a level where you allow them to get to know a little bit more about you, and you get to learn a little bit more about them. You become acquainted with some of the struggles that others have, that you can be involved in their lives, that you can minister to some of those struggles, that you can share some of the burdens that other people have to carry. And I think in some ways, home groups are quite unique in the life of a church and being able to do that. For others of us who are not able to do that, sometimes it may be having a close relationship with another Christian buddy or a Christian girlfriend or a group of girlfriends where a similar process can take place, where those deeper needs can be ministered to by the body of Christ. Again, I would like to harp on, if you like, about developing our own relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me make it really simple, particularly you young Christians, young people over there, do I get your attention just for 30 seconds? 30 seconds? 30 seconds! Hi, talking to you. 30 seconds. If you could just, give a little bit of each day in studying God's Word. Just, it may be a quarter of an hour. Just get up a little bit earlier and read God's Word and pray some simple things, okay? And what are we doing? We're learning to cast all our anxieties on Him, for He cares about you. Develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yourself so that you grow as you walk through life with Him, hand in hand with Jesus. Two simple things. So I'd commend to you, time in the Word, time in fellowship with Jesus, getting to know Jesus, and also time with your brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christian fellowship. Lord, I pray that as we consider your word, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts, minister to us, encourage us, we pray. For those of us who are tired and weary, Lord, I pray their souls may be refreshed over this holiday break. Lord, for those who are struggling with various issues, and some are issues which are very private, Lord, I pray that you administer to their hearts. Lord, I pray that they may know what it is to experience the balm of Gilead poured over their heads in a healing way. Lord, we thank you that you're a good God. We thank you that you care. We thank you that you care and stand up for sinners. Lord, that your hand of grace extends to us who are so unworthy. We thank you for your goodness. Pray your blessing on the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.